Welcome to the Stash My Comics Podcast, Episode 1. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Wherever you are and whatever time it is, we'd like to welcome you to the Stash My Comics Podcast. This is our first show, so hopefully you will bear with us through any technical difficulties or any problems. But we are here to talk about comics. I am known as Matt B. on the Stash My Comic forums. And you can view those on stashmycomics.com. I have been reading comics for, probably over 20 years. Started out reading Punisher and Amazing Spider-Man on the Marvel side, and then took a really long hiatus, and in the last couple of years, picked up quite a bit of DC and some independents. So we'll get more into sort of what we're reading. With me here on the other end is Jason Newcomb. If you'll introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Jason. You mentioned that I'm the editor at the StashMyComics.com blog. You can check that out at StashMyComics.com/blog. I fancy myself a comic book critic. I've been reading regularly since 2008, but have been on and off since I was a kid. And currently, I'm kind of on a DC kick, as most people are, but I dip my toe a little bit in the independent forum as well. So, yeah, that's basically what I'm about in terms of comics.
Yep, and I also write for the StashMyComics.com blog. Hopefully, you guys will go there and check it out if you've never been there before. And if you decide that you want to join the forums, you won't find a friendlier bunch of people.
I think you're right. We're the friendliest bunch of comic fans on the internet, I think.
Yeah, I've noticed, not to point any out, but I've been to quite a lot of other forums where people are extremely negative, and this one is definitely very positive. So we'll talk a little bit more about the site later, but right now we're going to go ahead and get into some news. Jason, if you want to bring up the couple of items you have, we'll talk about those, and then I'll bring up mine.
News. Yeah, starting with the number threes, next month, DC will be doing backups in their books. I don't know which ones were announced yet. I do know that at the very least, in the back of Action Comics, you will see a Steel backup. And there is some preview art there. If you check out the DC's source blog, and it's looking really good. This writer who's writing the backup was handpicked by Grant Morrison himself. So check those out in the DC number threes, the backups or the co-features, I think is what they like to call them.
Yeah, I heard.
Go ahead. The Green Lantern animated feature is coming out on November 11th. It's a one-hour event. I forget where it's going to air, but Google Green Lantern animated feature November 11th and check that out. I'll be watching it and probably talking about it on the blog. Green Lantern, it's not an animated feature. It's a series, a new series.
Yeah, I believe that's going to be on Cartoon Network, and I'm not sure the time. I don't even have cable or satellite here, but I do have access to it from a house down the street. So hopefully I will be checking that out as well, and maybe we'll discuss that on the next show. And in regards to the DC backups, this was something that I had just heard a tiny bit about, but it sounds like something that'll be kind of fun for them to do. Do you know about how many pages we're talking about extra? Is this in addition to the regular page count?
I know that Action Comics was selling at $4, and to justify this price, despite the whole holding the line at $2.99 thing, DC was adding like sketches and script pages in the back of Action Comics, that sort of additional feature. And I think those were taking up seven story pages. And I I do believe, if my memory serves right, from the DC Source blog, the backup feature in Action Comics is going to be 7 story pages. So, and if I'm wrong, go ahead and let us know.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that then, because, you know, Action Comics was one that I was reading, but was going to drop because of what you were talking about. Sort of their normal towing the line at $2.99 has sort of irked me with the $3.99 titles, but it is a really good book, and it's pretty much worth the price, particularly if they're going to be adding some backup features. And speaking of DC news, obviously their numbers came in for, I guess, October, and those were really good as well. And I got to say that's really good to see. When they did the whole reboot thing, I kind of had it in mind that September would be huge and October would sort of be falling off, but evidently that hasn't been the case. And, you know, this is only good for comic book fans and even Marvel fans, because this, you know, competition creates better books.
It's I've been reading the numbers, and I make no claim to be an analyst or anything like that. I really don't understand everything, the pre-orders and all that. But from what I can tell, is what the experts say, is that it seems to be benefiting everybody across the board. So most of the big titles performed well as expected. Batman, Justice League, Action Comics, and Flash, and that sort of thing. So, but the genre titles are the ones that had the lowest sales, like Men of War, I, Vampire, that sort of thing. But these numbers that we got are pre-order numbers, so I think it's not necessarily indicative of what the fans want or what the fans want to buy, but rather the retailers weren't sure how to hedge their bets with these lesser known titles with more risky creative teams.
Yeah, and you know, actually, in terms of those smaller titles, those are some of the ones that I've been enjoying the most. And one example that I would give is Suicide Squad, which I haven't heard people talk a lot about. And that's one that I'm sure I'll talk about in the future, because I just got through reading number 2 and immensely liked it. And I really hope that these lower tier books do stick around. I hope that they are selling, because I don't want to see these go away. And I know when they initially did the relaunch, they were pretty hardcore that, you know, if books were not selling well, that they would pretty much tank them and try something else.
Yeah, I think Dan DiDio went on record that all the books had a 6-month worry-free zone where nobody would get canceled, but they were going to start to slash titles after that if they don't perform well. Now, one thing that we don't have on the numbers, there is a possibility that these books, these lower tiered books, are performing well in the digital market. And so here's hoping it does. And I don't know if we'll ever see those numbers, but maybe that's skewing the numbers too. One thing I did notice about the DC numbers that I was personally disappointed about was the Wonder Woman, which should be an A-list character, and is known in the is in pop culture vernacular, and did not perform as well as the hype would lead you to believe. And I've been a big fan of the book, been talking it up on the blog and on the forums and with everybody I can. A lot of people at my shop are loving this book. So if you haven't given Wonder Woman a try because you think the character's kind of lame, or you think that people will laugh at you because you like Wonder Woman, just give it a shot. It's been an excellent book, and hopefully it'll survive this shakeup that she's doing.
Yeah, I read the first one and I liked it. It just didn't make my short list because I'm on a, speaking of, you know, a later segment, Geek on a Budget, I'm having to definitely sort of scale down this year. But it's definitely one that I could see wanting to read in trade, much like a lot of the DC books. But, you know, the one thing that struck me about Wonder Woman, just briefly touching on that, was it felt like a Vertigo book that just happened to have Wonder Woman in it.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair assessment. If you think you wouldn't like Wonder Woman, this is the book to try, because it's very much unlike any Wonder Woman book that's ever come out, to my knowledge at least.
Yeah, and hopefully, you mentioned earlier the digital numbers. Hopefully they will release those and we'll get sort of a peek into what digital is doing. I would imagine they're not releasing it because perhaps the numbers aren't that glamorous, but I mean, I'm primarily reading digital now, and I would imagine that just about every comic book reader that has an iPad is at least half reading digital and half still buying the regular issues. But speaking of the digital market, let's go into the Marvel news, and that was that they will be going day and date digital. I believe it was sometime in the spring.
Yeah, I think they're going to start rolling that out. They're not doing a whole like snapping it out like DC did. They're going to be rolling it out over several months. And I think the end date for the rollout is March. We're going to see the last of the Marvel books going digital. And it was recently announced that all the Ultimate titles will, I believe, come with a code for a free copy of the digital books for folks who are collectors and like to keep their books read and in perfect near mint condition. This is an option, or it could just be kind of to introduce readers to an incentive to get them to try digital.
Yeah, I just actually was able to download. Marvel took quite a bit of time getting on Comixology for Android, and they finally did it, but they didn't have their own separate app. But just a few days ago, I guess, that came out, and I downloaded it. So you can do Comixology with Independence and DC and Marvel mixed in there, or you can do what I do. I do a separate DC, a separate Marvel, and then all my Independence through Comixology. But I haven't bought any of the Marvel titles because I can't get over the $3.99 digital price tag. It seems a little bit steep. Even with DC, I'm only doing mostly the $1.99 the month later. It just, when you don't have the physical copy in your hand, it definitely feels a little strange getting the digital version for the same price that you would pay for the regular issue.
Yeah, price point is going to be a big issue in this digital market, and I don't know. We'll see. I'm of the same mind. I'm not buying any digital books right now because I don't have the device at this point. So I'm just gonna keep buying hard copies as it is, and I'll see what I'll see when I get a more convenient device, how I'll react to digital, but. I can predict that I won't be buying $4 digital books.
Yeah, I can definitely predict that I will not be doing that as well. $2.99 maybe for a $3.99 book, and a $1.99 seems to be okay for me. But, and I love when they have the sales and they have the 99-cent books. And I've been thinking that, you know, what they really need to do is take any of the books that are over a year old, particularly like old DC continuity, and just make them all 99 cents. You know, it's much more feasible to go ahead and, you know, pick up a year's run for $12 digitally than it is to do it for twice that much.
I completely agree with you, Matt.
And there it is. We agree that digital comics are probably too expensive, but that's okay. That's still something that they're working on, and I have a feeling we're going to start seeing things cheaper in bulk, per se. I'm already starting to see sort of collected issues, something like the first five or six for $5.99 and things like that. So that should definitely help that. But let's get off the news and go ahead and get into the reviews. I asked Jason to pick a book, and then I picked a book. Let's go with Jason's first, and while he discusses the book that he picked, I'll get this sucker opened up here in my Comixology.
I chose to talk about Infinite Vacation number 3. This was a total curveball for me. I had read issues 1 and 2 way back when they came out. I think issue 2 came out in April, so I had sort of forgot about it. But when I saw it come up in my pull list at my stashmycomics.com pull list, I went to the store and picked it up. I fully expected to be disappointed simply because I was no longer in the mood. I lost the momentum of the story. So I actually put it off. I put off reading it. And I think the next day, the power went out here in the morning, so I couldn't cook, I couldn't make coffee, I couldn't do any housework or anything. So I just took my lazy morning and took out the first 2 issues and reread them. And I found that I very much enjoyed this 3rd issue. For those of you who don't know what Infinite Vacation is all about, it's a Image Comics title written by Nick Spencer of Morning Glory's fame. And drawn by Christian Ward, whom I was not familiar with before this. The premise of this story is that the multiple worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics, which posits that there are an infinite number of possible universes within which there are other copies of you in there. And in here, there is a consumer products company which deals in these infinite universes. So on your smartphone, you can swap identities or swap lives with yourself, a carbon copy of yourself in a parallel universe, and go live their life for a while. For instance, in one of the infinite universes, you may have become the president of the United States, so you can go live that life for a little while. Or maybe you decided to open up a surf shop in Hawaii, so you go live that life for a little while. But the implications of this get complicated. For instance, when this guy, Mark, who's the main protagonist of the story, doesn't have the guts to go up to this girl in a coffee shop and ask her name and introduce himself. So instead, he just goes to shop in his RSS feed for a universe where he did have the guts. So all these philosophical implications are brought up in this story. In issue 3 specifically, the story kicks in, the main plot kicks in, where Mark has been realizing that a lot of copies of himself have been dying. And in this issue, we learn why specifically, and that his existence is actually quite important, and it's sort of like the reality rests on whatever decisions he's going to make in the future. In this issue, we have an interesting reversal of the usual stereotypes of the religious fanatics and the scientific community, where these cultists called the singularists, who don't believe in dealing with infinite vacations, they turn out to be right about everything. And the scientific community, and most importantly, the people in charge of the infinite vacation, don't take well to this, because this means that everything they have at stake in here, all their power, they could lose it in an instant. So it's quite an interesting book. The artwork is absolutely phenomenal. It's got this pop art look to it. Sometimes it looks like it's been silk screened. it's obviously been touched up in Photoshop, but in such a way that it just adds to the whole ethereal subject matter. The characters are well drawn, like you never are confused as to who's who and who's where, and the layouts are very innovative. Another thing that this book does that I'd never seen much of before is photo comic scenes. So instead of having line drawn sequences, whenever you see an ad on TV or something like that, you actually get to read that ad, and it's photographs with captions, and it's really neat. It's an unusual book, but very very engrossing and compelling. I think I read some of the reviews online. I think some people were kind of thrown off by the delays, but whenever this comes out in trade, I think it's probably something to look for if it sounds like your kind of thing. So you picked this up right at issue 3 without reading the first issues, I believe, Matt. Is that right?
Yeah, that wasn't very smart, but I will say that even if you don't know anything about the first two issues, if you have sort of a general sense of alternate reality worlds, Matrix-y type things where you're, you know, living out different lives, all sorts of that stuff going on, you'll be okay. And if nothing else, the art, like he mentioned, is just amazing. You can literally just, I would encourage you to pick it up and don't even read it at first. Just sort of go page by page and just take the art in. There's some really unique stuff going on here. Almost like there's some watercolors, and then, you know, sometimes you'll see some sort of anime style in there. Each page is just really unique, and it's something that you could just hang on your wall and admire. But aside from that, yeah, I mean, the story is very engrossing, disturbing, and it's not a story for, I would say, intellectual lightweights. There's a lot going on here in terms of religion, and like you said, alternate realities, and I believe you mentioned quantum physics. So it's definitely one that would, for me, I would have to pick it up and trade, but I'm glad that I gave it a shot, and I'd passed over it quite a few times in the store, but thankfully, you know, Image is digitally available, and when Jason said he was going to review this book, I was able to just pick it right up.
Yeah, so you guys listening, you can check out my review of this this issue 3 on the blog at stashmycomics.com/blog. And if you do a search on the blog, you can also find my review of the first issue, which I wrote way back when.
Very good. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the book that I picked, and I picked Swamp Thing 3. And at the time I picked this book, I was just finishing up number 2, and although I mostly wait a month later, I decided to pick this one up for the sake of, you know, having fresh content to talk about. And for those of you who don't follow what's going on in Swamp Thing, you don't necessarily need to know what's happened in the past, but I've noticed it kind of does help. I've heard other people review this book and they're not sure who, you know, Abigail is, where if you've read anything Alan Moore has done, you realize how important she is to the Swamp Thing. But aside from that, if you haven't read anything, just jump right in it. You can always go back and pick up some of the Vertigo collected titles, and you'll see some parallels there. But overall, Zack Snyder is telling a very original story in terms of how he's redefining the Swamp Thing. And so basically what you have is Alec Holland, who has come back to life via The Brightest Day. And Swamp Thing, the sort of the entity of Swamp Thing, the green avatar, is chasing him to get him to become the Swamp Thing. Because what a lot of people don't know is Alan Moore came on and sort of changed the game. He basically said that Alec Holland died when that explosion happened in the lab, and his memories were what survived and mixed with the swamp. So essentially, the swamp thing was not really Alec Holland. He thought he was Alec Holland, but he was just his memories. But he was the one that fell in love with Abigail and had that relationship. So we get Alec Holland, who's fighting against the green that wants him so badly. He has all these memories of the swamp thing, of, you know, this white-haired lady and this relationship with her and all these things that happen, and he has no idea what to sort of do with this. And when we jump in this issue, we start at kind of an odd spot with a little boy in a hospital. And what we find out later in this book is that this boy is sort of the opposite of the swamp thing. He is connected to the black, or the decaying avatar. And so we quickly find out that Alec Holland needs to become the swamp thing to stop this great evil. And Jason, I know you said that you hadn't read a whole lot of the older Swamp Thing. How, jumping into this new series of Swamp Thing, what were your thoughts? Were you confused, or were you able to sort of get the gist of what was going on?
No, I was okay. I think Snyder is putting enough in here that you can latch onto it and get what's going on. I think the result of this being a relaunch in the New 52 is that, especially in issues number 1 and 2, Snyder felt that he had to catch up the reader on Swamp Thing lore, which made for, in my opinion, excessively wordy scripts. This effect seems lessened in this issue, and dialogue's a little bit better. And I'm finding that I'm interested in the story, even if I'm not 100% sold on it. What I'm most interested in is these avatars, like you mentioned, the green, the decay or the rot. And I've been reading Jeff Lemire's Animal Man, and there are direct, it's a direct relative of that, in that this deals with the green and the rot, whereas Animal Man deals with the red and the avatars of animal life and so on. So I like how these two kind of dovetail together. But otherwise, yeah, it's funny. We both chose like incredibly disturbing books. Like it works, and it's a great story. But there are some horrifying scenes in both of these books we picked. We must have been on some sort of like, we must have been possessed by the rot ourselves.
Yeah, I don't know what that says about us. That might not be good. I mean, I don't normally gravitate towards your horror books, but these two definitely can fall into that category, as well as a lot of the DC books. But the little boy, what we find out early on is he's this sick little boy in a bubble, and these other kids are tormenting him, and you feel really sorry for him. But later on, he becomes this evil little menace, taking up revenge on the little kids that are trying to harm him. Basically, they're trying to pop a hole in the bubble. And what happens is the dead animals start talking to him and calling his name and telling him that he'd better do something or these kids are going to basically kill him, because if this bubble pops, he's as good as dead. And so he kind of turns in a very Omen, Damien sort of way, has this evil look on his face and starts doing some horrifying things to these kids, basically with just his mind. And you're right. I think what this is going to do in terms of dovetailing with Animal Man is, for those of you that have been reading it, I've just sort of been keeping up with what's going on with it. But from what I understand, Animal Man is not the red avatar, the animal or flesh avatar, but he's sort of the keeper or the teacher, and his little daughter is the one that they want to carry that mantle. So I have a feeling what we're going to see is Animal Man and his daughter and Swamp Thing and Abigail perhaps taking on this rot, this decay menace.
With this issue, I'm enjoying myself a little bit more in the series, mostly because of Abigail. I like this character. I think she has a cool look with the hair, the white and black hair, and she rides a bike, she's decisive, whereas Alec so far has been a little wishy-washy and a bit of a whiner, I think. And I think Abigail might be the right character to kick him in the pants and get him on the right heroic path there. So I'm liking this Abigail character.
Yeah, it's definitely a departure from the old Abigail, who she was always a strong character, but she was definitely more the sort of hanging out in the swamps looking for Swamp Thing, and it was definitely more of your, I don't want to say typical, but maybe typical for that time period, the damsel in distress sort of character. She was always hanging on what was happening with Swamp Thing, waiting for him to reappear. This is a very different Abigail, and we find out that she has become this way by being away from the Swamp Thing. So basically, when the Swamp Thing disappeared, she started having these dark visions of the decay, because what we find out is, spoiler alert, the little boy is actually her half-brother. So the name, her last name, which is Arcane, this family has always been connected to the Rot. And this is why we see this harder-edged sort of Abigail. The Swamp Thing was able to keep these feelings in check and keep her safe, and now this is running rampant in her life. But luckily, she sort of has the key, I think, to stopping this. But she can't do it without Swamp Thing, and I think we're going to see a nice growth here of their relationship that's almost brand new, because you have an Abigail that was in love with the Swamp Thing, but not necessarily Alec Holland, because he was basically dead all along. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to how Zack Snyder weaves this tale. He's very good at telling sort of a long story, but making every issue count for me. And that's coming back from, you know, his most recent run of Detective Comics, where I really started to enjoy his writing. And I also am enjoying what he's doing on Batman as well. So Swamp Thing, good book. If you haven't began checking this one out, go back and start at the first issue and get caught up. I think most of you who enjoy sort of dark and different books, not necessarily in the superhero vein, will really dig this book.
Yeah, I think that's another one that feels a bit more like a Vertigo book set in the DCU proper. That seems to be a bit of a modus operandi at DC right now, as to let the writers do their thing, let the artists do their thing, and because what sells books is good scripts and good art.
Well, let's move on and talk just a little bit about the StashMyComics.com site. For those who have never been there, you definitely want to go check this out. This was a site that I stumbled upon and was not only amazed by the friendly people on the forum, but the deep blog content and the original content is really second to none, and I've read a lot of comic book websites. So there's really a lot to get into. And Jason, if you'll talk a little bit about the collection side of it and how that works, because I have not yet put my collection on it, but it's very unique to comic book websites.
Yeah, it's a comics cataloging software, very neat way to organize your comic book collection. It's in-browser software and completely free to use. There's no hidden fees. You never have to pay for anything. It's free through and through for every single feature. All you have to do is register an account, and that will create a name, an account for tracking your software, and will create an account for you to log into the forums. The collection tracking software itself, our database of comic books is 200,000 and growing. Let me see, I think it's 220,000, something like that, comic books. And all the data is user-generated. That is to say, if you're a collector who likes to collect appearances of a certain character, you can go and search the database for books that have been tagged or have been where users have submitted an appearance to such a book, so that you can also search by creator, by editor, by publisher, you name it. There's tons of info on each comic that's uploaded to the site. And when users upload some different info, images, new series, they earn points, which are redeemable for tickets in giveaways that we do frequently. We give away original art, comic books, trade paperbacks, and you name it. So I think you should check that out. There's a lot of ways you can benefit from it. There's a lot of ways you can customize the way you organize your comic book collection on the website. You can tag books so that you can kind of cross-reference your collection. You can search your own collection to see what you may or may not have. You can create any kind of category you want. I've been using the website since 2008, and I'm still discovering new great features. So for anybody who likes to keep track of what books they have, or just to rate and review your books, check it out. And right now the site is in a state of flux. We're rejigging things to make it more interactive and more easy to use, and to encourage a bit more of interaction within the community. So definitely check it out. It's a hot place to be right now.
I would have to agree. And for those of you who are on the site and listening to the show, we appreciate any support you can give us. In fact, one such member was kind enough to give us the little audios in between segments that you will hear. And Jason, tell us who that user is, and then when you are through with that, we'll go ahead and play his segment, because he is sort of our guest sponsor.
Yeah, this is a gentleman who goes by the name of Alan White, which I met online at comic forums. He does these really cool, neat audio dramas on the internet. He gathers different actors and he writes these scripts, and they're quite interesting stories. So definitely check out his site, which will play right now.
They are murderers, martyrs, and mercenaries in the no man's land between adventure and crusade. Soldiers of fate and fierce honor, bound together in mystery, darkness, and blood. Their enemies are shadows haunting the outermost borders of a darkening world, and as night approaches, the shadows grow long. They are the fallen, and these are their stories.
Do something!
Whatever I do or don't do is up to you, Douglas.
Spoken like a man who doesn't like to be scrutinized.
Empire of Blood.
Not that title, it's an ALM!
Step into the unseen shadows for the continuing tales of the fallen, and see the future of an evolving transmedia universe at www.unseenshadows.com.
All right, and we hope you enjoyed that little segment there. We're going to move on now and just, let's do a special, one of our special segments. And for those of you who don't know about the blog, there is a segment there called Geek on a Budget. And I don't have anything specific that I want to talk about, but I did want to mention some of the things that I have found, because I read digitally, some of the great ways to get free stuff or very cheap stuff digitally. And then, Jason, if you have any money-saving advice you'd like to give, we can go there.
Geek on a budget.
Sure, yeah. This month's Geek on a Budget is all about not reading so many damn comic books. There's actually sometimes reading comic books, it feels like an addiction, like you've got to know what the latest storyline is, and you got to read the book that's hot and all that. And lo and behold, your pull list gets like to be like a mile long, and you're reading like 5,000 books. So if you go to the blog right now, and there's a heroic geek on a budget to help you. I throw down a pull list challenge to kind of whittle it down to what you really think is awesome, and so you're not busting your wallet with this. And if you are addicted to comic books, there's a nice 12-step program there that I wrote down, so you can cure from your addiction and read less books. No, sorry. Read more, but buy less. It's all about reading only what you really love.
Exactly. And I just realized I'm trying to pull up some information on my Comixology, and my Wi-Fi is turned off. I was wondering why nothing was working. But I wanted to, speaking about, you know, not having to read so much or not paying for reading so much, for those of you who do read digitally, you probably know this, but even if you just have like a laptop or something, go to the Comixology site and get on the digital comics, and under the featured tab, you will see lots and lots of free comics. Now, not all of them are full issues. DC has a lot of great previews that'll give you the first 4 or 5 pages on that week's books, but there is a ton of free stuff that would take you forever to read. And what I like about it is that there's a ton of independents there that I would never know about or never even come close to picking up. But I've discovered some pretty cool ones just by downloading, you know, free issue number 0. In some cases, there's a free issue number 1. One book in particular, if I can find it here, that I just downloaded, I got a full issue on it, and the rest of the issues are just 99 cents a piece, and I really want to pick these up, and I would have never picked this up if I hadn't gotten the free issue. Fist of Justice, I don't know if you've ever heard of that book, and I really don't even know how old it is, but it's from the publisher Digital Webbing, and this is just a great throwback superhero book with a twist, and I'm not going to give it away because it was a twist that kind of blew me away. So, yeah, get on there, get online, and like I said, even if you don't have a tablet or an iPod, reading stuff on your computer is not the worst way to go, particularly if you have a decent-sized monitor. So that's one way you can download, you know, literally dozens and dozens of comics and explore new stuff at no cost to you.
I really like that, because you get to, even if you do prefer reading hard copies, that's just a good way of checking out something that you're not sure about, so that you're not spending money investing in books. Like if you pre-order stuff, like some of these like more obscure independent stuff isn't on the shelf at the comic store, and you have to pre-order it. And that means you're committing to, usually the first 3 issues. So I think I like that. It's a good way to check stuff out for cheap or free, and know what money you're spending and what you really want to read.
Yeah, it definitely levels the playing field for all these enormous amounts of independents that are out there, and you'd almost be shocked by how many there are, because you know your comic book store is only going to carry so many. But I mean, when I look at this list on Comixology, I'm shocked by the amount of people who do these little independent books and somehow survive. Maybe some of them don't survive. Maybe they're losing money. But anyways, that was just my little tip for the month on how to get cheap and free stuff. But what we wanted to do with this first show was just sort of get a feel for how things work. If you guys are experiencing any problems with the audio, we apologize. I know for the most part, Jason has come in pretty good. There has been some lag issues, which is typical with Skype, but particularly my semi-slow connection. But we wanted to get this episode out there, and this is something we plan on doing at least once a month to start with. And if you have any comments or suggestions or want us to talk about anything in particular, or even just questions that you want answered, feel free to email me at podcast@stashmycomics.com, or you can email Jason at
Jason@stashmycomics.com. That's Jason, NEWCOMB.
Jason Newcomb at stashmycomics.com. In case you didn't hear it, he got just a little bit robot-y there via the Skype. But we definitely want people to participate. We want this to be a show for everybody at Stash My Comics. And Jason had mentioned maybe getting a guest eventually from one of the other podcasts, and let us know what you think and let us know how we can improve the show. Obviously we want to improve the quality, but we also want to improve the content, and more than anything we want you guys to enjoy listening to the show. Jason, do you have anything to add before we close this episode?
Yes, so wherever you're seeing this, you're downloading this from, you can leave us a comment. If it's on the blog, go ahead and do that. If it's on iTunes, leave us a review, a good one. If you hated the show, well, maybe don't leave a review and instead email us and then you say bridge. You can also go to the forums at stashmycomics.com/html/forums, or you can just go to stashmycomics.com and click the forums tab there. And definitely communicate that to us. So we'd love to hear from you. And looking forward to hearing your thoughts.
Good. And of course, as we're doing this, asking people to comment on the show, I'm getting like all this static on my microphone, and your Skype is getting all robot-y. But the very first like three quarters of the show went really smoothly. So please grade us on that part of the show and not the end when we're asking you to comment and everything is falling apart. We'll get this right and eventually. And this is a work in progress, but this is something I've always wanted to do and I'm really excited to do it. And I know Jason is as well. So we'll see you guys on the forums, hopefully. If you haven't signed up, get over there to stashmycomics.com and we'll see you over there. And we'll see you next episode. Bye-bye.
Excelsior.